Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach Aleph. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Benny Leibowitz, Rav Ben Sion Ben Moshe, and Le'ilu Nishmas Abraham Steiner, Avram Pinchas Ben Moshe. All the Nishans we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of the Chayalim. Kosh Baruch should make them successful, bring back the Chatufim, Bimheira, in good health. There should be no more Kavanos, and Hashem should be Merachem, Hashem should be Menachem, and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up at the Mishnah about a third of the way down on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah starts and it tells us, Avra Geder Shu Gavoa Dal Ramos. We're dealing here again with fire. This parak deals with the dinim of Eish, and the fire went from your yard into someone else's yard. If you started it in someone else's yard, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, so then you're going to be chayav for everything according to everybody, albeit we'll see the slight differences, what it means everything according to everybody. But here we're talking about you started a fire in your own yard, and it traversed some sort of a barrier to get to your neighbor's yard and causes damage there. So if it went over a geder, shu gavo arba amos, if it passed by a wall that was more than 4 amos tall. Now, the fire, for the wall to be more than 4 amos tall from it, it's talking about starting, Tosus explains, from the top of the firewood and where the fire is actually starting. So that has to be 4 amos above that point. And if it's more than 4 amos above that point, or if it has to cross a derech rabim, o derech rabim, harabim, which is, by definition, something that is 16 amos wide, or it has to go across o nohar, it has to go across a river. So all of these are considered appropriate good barriers, and therefore anything that goes beyond those barriers is considered an onus, and therefore the Tana of our Mishnah says, in these situations, your potter, the one who started the fire in his own yard, is not going to be chayav to pay for damages that occurred if it traversed these appropriate barriers that should have prevented the fire from going there, such as the geder, the wall that was more than arba amos. Obviously, the wall is going about a stone wall that can protect it. If it's talking about a wooden wall, so obviously that's not going to be a protection. It's talking about a wall that should have protected the fire from going across it, or a wide road, and there was obviously no vegetation there and no reason to think that the fire would go across that road. The Gemara will discuss this a little bit more. Or there was a river over there, and therefore the water would prevent the fire from going across it. And in all these situations, if the fire somehow did get across it, so then the owner of the fire is parted from the damages, be they other. Now, the Gemara starts off and tells us, Vatanya, but wait a second, we learned that in other Braisa, that 4 amos is chayev. Avra geder shu gavoa arba amos chayev. If the fire traversed a wall that was 4 amos tall, you're in fact chayev. Our Mishnah said if it traverses a wall that's 4 amos tall, you're potter. And that Braisa seems to say that you're chayev. So is it a machlokus? We know Mishnah, the Braisa. So Rav Papa says no. I'm Rav Papa. It depends how you count. Are you counting down or are you counting up? In other words, certainly everybody agrees that more than 4 amos, that's an appropriate geder, and therefore you'd be potter. It's an onus if it gets across it. And if it's less than 4 amos, everybody agrees that that's an inadequate barrier, and therefore you're going to be chayiv if the fire crosses it. There's no real barrier there if it's less than 4 amos. What the question is what is the dalet amos bidiyuk exactly? So that depends whether you're counting downward and you say ad viad bichlal, or you're counting upwards and you say ad viad bichlal, so to say. And let's see the Gemara, and we'll see that one of them is talking about ad viad bichlal, and one of them is talking about ad velo ad bichlal. Do we include the 4 amos in the discussion or not? So let's see what Rav Papa tells us. Rav Papa tells us, I'm Rav Papa, Tana Didon, the Tana of our Mishnah, Kochoshiv Milumala Lamata. He's counting downwards. In other words, if you had a wall of 6 amos, you're definitely going to be potter. If you had a wall of 5 amos, you're definitely going to be potter. And all the way down, ad arba amos, the ad bichlal, Rashi explains, including dalet amos, you're going to be potter. So if it's 4.000 amos, that's good. If it's 3.999, then you're going to be chayav. That's the Tana of our Mishnah. He's counting down, so he includes the arba amos in the potter, ad v'ad bichlal. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa, Tana Bra means outside, the Tana of the Braisa, so he's counting upwards, milamata lemalakoshev, he's counting upwards. So he says, if you have a wall that's only 2 amos, de amos yichayet, that's not considered a good barrier. If you have a wall that's 3 amos, shalosh amos yichayet, that's not a good barrier. Up until velo ad bichlal, dalet amos, ad arba amos yichayet, so 3.999, you're going to be chayev. Ad, velo ad bichlal, he's not including 4 amos. He agrees with the Tana of our Mishnah that 4 amos, he would be potter. So it all depends on your perspective. You're counting down, you're counting up. But they all agree that 4 amos, bidiyuk, is going to be potter. That is considered an adequate barrier. Now Rava tells us the following halach. Amar Rava, arba amos amru de potter, that which we just pointed out, both the Mishnah and the Braisa, the Tana of both agrees that if the wall is 4 amos or certainly more, that is considered an adequate barrier, and therefore you're going to be potter, because if you got across that, it was an onus, and you're potter for an onus. So the arba amos shamu de potter, so afilu bistei kotzim. That's talking about even if there is a field of thorns, i.e. highly flammable area, where the kotzim are. Now, what is exactly Rava telling us? So Amar Rapapa, Rapapa is telling us, umisvas kotzim ulamala arba amos, because he says, from the top of these thorns, until the top of the wall, there still is a distance of arba amos. And therefore, it should be protective enough that the wall should not allow the fire to cross it, even though there's a highly flammable material over there. And that's the explanation Rapapa gives to Rava's statement. As Rashi explains, Dibra Maskel Vidu Sadeh Kotzim. He says, Afilu Haisa Sadeh She Kofetzes, and we have the word Lusham, but in the Mesor Seshas it says it should be Olav, Ha'or, Me'al Legeder, Malaya Kotzim, Genoa Ha'esh Levarbo. It's very flammable, Uladalik, to jump over it. Nevertheless, because you have the wall there that's 4 amos above where the flammable material is, you're considered to be Potter. And the more further comments on this with the statement of Rav. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Lo shanu ela b'kolachas. We see this in machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the Mishnah is also talking about b'kolachas. What does b'kolachas mean? So Rashi tells us, Eish shekoleach mismar the ola lamala. This is a fire that is going straight up. It's not blowing sideways. It's just going straight up. So in this situation, you don't expect it to go and pass through the barrier of a wall. However, abo b'nich pepes. But if in fact it is bent over, Rashi says, Sharuach Mateosa, the kofel it's done, the wind is blowing it, and it's bending over to the side. Umavsik hashalheves, the doleges, and the fire can so to say jump and get over something in that situation, then Rav says, Afilu Admeya Amachai, back to the Gemara, even if it's 100 amah distance, so then we're talking that the fire will be able to traverse that distance. Now, that's the first pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi, Lishnach Rina, Nechpebes means Eish Nemucha Holeches V'Nisreches V'Yasovim U'Biksovim Shalgabi Karka. That there's a lot of like little flammable twigs along the road, and the fire can easily go in a horizontal direction. Hilka Hafilu Avra Derek Rishusarabim Rochav Ma'od Chayim. And then, even there's a huge Rishusarabim, even it's more than 16 amos wide, but you have all this flammable material over there, you have it filled with twigs and grasses, so then you're going to be Chayim in that situation. You can't say, well, there was 16 amos between me and my friend's house, but it was filled with grass and flammable twigs. So, of course, the fire is going to go there. So, this is Rav's statement, being the first understanding of Rashi, the second understanding of Rashi. Rav says that if the fire is kolachas, if it goes straight up, and there's no flammable material in between there and the second pshat of Rashi, so then you're going to be potter. But if it's nechvefes, if it can be bent by the wind to jump over the wall, or there's flammable material there in the horizontal direction, so then even if there's a distance of 16 amos of Rishus HaRabim, no, in that situation, you will be chayiv. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel says a much more lenient opinion. Ushmuel Amar, no, masnisim nechvefes. Our Mishnah is talking about where it's being bent over by the wind, or there's a lot of flammable stuff in the pathway, and in that situation, you're still going to be potter if the gather is 4 amos, or if the width of the distance is 16 amos. However, if the fire is just going straight up, then even if there's only a small amount of a wall there, then you're going to be potter, because if its fire is going straight up and it's not being blown sideways, so then how's it going to get over any barrier? Any barrier should be fine. So Shmuel is a much more lenient opinion than Rav. We have a braisa that says like Rav. Tanya Kavasi the Rab. We have a Brisa that says like Rab. The Brisa specifically says, what's our Mishnah talking about? B'med Dvar Amurim, that our Mishnah says that if you have a Derech Rishus HaRabim, which is by definition 16 amos wide, that's learned out from the Mishkan. So that is enough to make the owner of the fire to be potter. It's only talking about Bekolachas, if it's going straight up. Mismar V'ole. So then you're going to be potter. But I will nichlechves the eitzim mitzuyim la. But if it's being blown sideways and there are lots of twigs and flammable material, so even though it's more than 16 amos, it's not going to help you. I feel like maya meal. Even if it was 100 meal, you have a huge forest over there, and the fire is just going to keep on going and going and going. Never have we seen these horrific fires in the recent years. So the fire will continue to grow and go. So therefore, in that situation, nichayim, no matter how wide it is, because you have flammable material along the entire way. Then the Braisa adds another statement, which we haven't learned yet, but it tells us, Avra nar o shlula shem rechobim shvona amos potter. The Braisa adds that if the firewood to have to go and cross a river, that we did have in our Mishnah, or a shlulis. We'll define in a moment what a shlulis is, but we'll see that it's some sort of a ditch with potentially water in it, or some sort of a ditch that doesn't have water in it. We'll see in a moment. So if it has this barrier, and even though it's not 16 amma wide, here it's just 8 amma wide, shemichav mishmon amos, that also is considered a significant enough barrier. The Braisa says that the owner of the fire would not be chayiv in that situation. It is an ones, and he's potter for onsin. Now, we said in our Mishnah, this Derech HaRabim, which we're defining as 16 amos wide, based upon the Mishkan. The Gemara says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Who says that the Derech HaRabim, that is 16 amos wide, who's that author? Mantana. So, Amar Rava, Rabbi Eliezer. This is going to be Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Gersa that we have is Ditnan, because we're going to learn this on the Amud base. We have a Mishnah there that says, Beferish, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Sheshes, Re'amos, Kederech, Rishus HaRabim. He is the author, specifically, that says that if there is a Derech Rabim over there, which is a Derech Rishus HaRabim, which is 16 amos wide, so then, now the Mishnah there doesn't say the word Potter, that's why we have it in parentheses, but the Mishnah is telling us that he is Potter from the context of the Mishnah. So therefore, our Mishnah is in accord with Rabbi Eliezer. Now, our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, so it would sound like the Halacha should follow the Stam Mishnah and be like Rabbi Eliezer. But Tosus points out that this is a Stam Mishnah that is followed there afterwards by Machlokis and Dibra Maschu Derech HaRabim. So Amastisen Koi, he's the author of our Mishnah. This is a Stam Mishnah, a Stam. However, on the Omud Beis, on Samachal of Omud Beis, the Achakach will have a Machlokis over there. We'll have several opinions over there, and therefore, that's why we're going to point out that we passing like Rabbi Shimon over there, and we don't passing like the Stam Mishnah, because this is a Stam Mishnah of the Achakach Machlokis, and therefore we don't passing like the Stam Mishnah. Okay, then we said in our Mishnah, or if it goes over a river, oh, Nohar, so then that would be normally a good barrier, and therefore the owner of the fire would be Potter. Now, Rav Amar, it means a Nohar Mamish. Rav says it means literally a river. Shmuel Amar, no, it doesn't have to literally be a river. It can be a Risa de Daloy. It could be what we had learned previously was an irrigation ditch. Now, previously, we learned that that irrigation ditch was called an Amma because it was only an Amma wide and an Amma deep. So, Lav Davka, that's what this is talking about, but it is some sort of an irrigation ditch over here, which is considered, according to Shmuel, to be a significant barrier. And Rav says, no, you need a Nohar Mamish. Now, Rav, who says, Man, Yom Nor Mamish, so he says, Afo Gav Deleka Maya. He says, even though it's dry, it could be like a wadi. Sometimes it's filled with water and sometimes it's not. But if you have something that is a significant river, even though it may be dry, Afo Gav Deleka Mayim, so that is going to be a significant barrier and will be Pater, the owner of the fire, if it somehow was able to cross this wadi. However, Uman Diyama Arisa did Daloy, but according to Shmuel, it says that this irrigation ditch, it's only because it has water in it, because it's smaller than a river. So, I is Beimaya in. Avol less Beimaya low. So, according to Shmuel, it has to have water in it. The water in it is the critical factor over here, not the distance or the width of this ditch, because that may be relatively small. Whereas Rav says, no, the Nahar, that's a much wider thing. And therefore, even if it doesn't have water in it, but Shmuel says the only time the Arisa de Aloy is going to make you potter is if it actually has water in it. The Mefarshim should point out that Rav and Shmuel are not necessarily arguing with each other. They're talking about different scenarios. Shmuel could Mustama agree with Rav that for the Nahar, you would in fact have a significant barrier even if it wasn't filled with water. And Rav could Mustama agree with Shmuel that this Arisa de Aloy is a significant barrier if there's water inside of it. Okay. Then we learned in the Mishnah, Tanan Hasam, this is a Mishnah from Peah, and this will tell us what the definition of shlulis is. That's why this is being brought over here. So the Mishnah in Peah tells us there's a din, of course, of Peah, that a person has a field, he has to leave a corner of it. Now, the Torah doesn't define how much, even a small amount or any large amount, except it can't be the entire field, is considered a corner of your field you left. So you can leave 0.1% to 99.9%, and that will fulfill midrash the obligation of Peah. But the rabbi set up that a person should give 1/60 of his field for Peah. Now, each field has to have Peah taken from it. A person has two fields. Well, theoretically, he would fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants by taking 2/60ths from one field and no 1/60ths from the other field, but that would be a problem of Marisai, and it looks like he's not giving Peah from each field. So if you have two separate fields, you have to give Peah from each field, even though the total amount is the same, whether you gave it in twice 1/60th or you gave 2/60ths from one field and no 1/60ths from the other field. That's because of Marisai and concern. So the Mishnah there in Peah tells us the following barriers make a field look like it's two fields rather than one field. And if we have to get Peah separately from each field, Elu, Mafsik, and Lepeah, the following barriers are considered enough to separate the two fields, so you have to take Peah from each field. What are these barriers? Hanachal. Hanachal will be again like a wadi. and it's a ravine, it is something that you have like a ditch that water can flow through it. The hashlulis, which we're not going to define right now, we'll define it in a second. So the Gemara is going to ask my shlulis, so we'll define that and wait a second for it. We'll have two different interpretations, which I've already alluded to, what a shlulis is, and v'derech hayochid. And here, a individual's road, which Tosus will explain is Dalit Amos, and v'derech harabim, which we already said is 16 Amos. And the obvious question is, if the Mishnah tells me that an individual, derech hayochid, is enough to separate a field into two separate entities, you have to take pay from each field, so duh, if 4 Amos does it, so then 16 Amos certainly should do it. And Tosus asks this question. And Tosus says, in Dibra Masel Elam HaSiklam Peya, he says, M'seches Peya Goras, B'seidra Mishnah, Derech HaYochid, V'achakach Derech HaRabim. It says, like we have it over here, Derech HaYochid and Derech HaRabim. Now it seems to be an automatic. If the Derech HaYochid is considered a barrier to making it to two separate fields, so obviously the larger Derech HaRabim would be a barrier. So Tosus brings down from the Yushami, the first Yushami, the Mishum, the Sefer, it's Drich. You need this for the second part of this Mishnah, not for we have quoted over here. Because it's Rich Lemista. You have to say this over here because the Ketani, it says later in that Mishnah, Hakol Mafsikin Lezroyin. Everything is considered a barrier in regards to vegetables that you have in the left and on the right field. So the barrier in between makes it into two separate fields. However, they know Mafsik Leilin. If you have an orchard, you have trees, so then it's not considered a barrier. The Kamash Ulan, the Chiddush is Tosu says from the Yushami, is Dafilu Derech Harabim. Even if a large barrier is in between the trees, a Derech Harabim, 16 Amos, Eino Mafsik Leilonos. In regards to trees, it doesn't make it look like two separate fields, and therefore can just leave pay on one of the two sides, and that could encompass the entire field. Both fields would be taken care of by just leaving pay the appropriate amount, 1/60th of the entire area, both fields, and that could just be on one side. You don't have to leave on the other side. There's no Marisayan concern. Further, Torah says, it tells us also a shvil, a path of a yochid and a path of a rabbin, that's hakavuya bosamacham of yosabusham. And there it had to tell us that it was a permanent path all year round, both in the rainy season and the dry season. And the chiddush there is, bahashdor shvil hayochid, it's rechlashmina. There, the chiddush is the shvil hayochid, because the afopishu katan miderech, even though it's smaller than the shvil the rabbin, nevertheless, masik is considered a separation between the two fields, meachashu kavua. It is set all year round, and therefore that's why it has to tell us that. Okay, in any event, let's go back to our Gemara. Gemara now says, my shlulis. What exactly is this shlulis that we mentioned in this Mishnah from Peya and that we had mentioned previously? So my shlulis. What is a shlulis? So I'm reviewed the Mishmul. Reviewed the Mishmul. So gives us the first opinion. It means makom shemeg yishamim sholulin sham. It means a place where rain gathers. Rashi explains in Dibur Maskul sholulin. The word sholulin means miskapsin. Kamo min hashalo shobetim. Like a gathering of the eggs inside of a chicken. That's the first shot that Rashi says for sholulin. It's a gathering place. Dovar acher, it means lashon shalal umakoach, the booty that they collected. Dovar hamikubats, it is collected. In any event, it means, according to Yudim Shmuel, the rain collected over there in this ditch. Rabbi Amar Ben Yochanan, however, says it's an amas mayim. It's a channel of water. It's an ama of water, a riverlet. So shemachalekets shalol liagotheha, and why is it called a shlulis? Because it gives over the water to both sides of the banks, as Rashi says shemachalekets shalol liagotheh shemashkin oson mimena v'hein osin peiros. It is used to irrigate both sides, and therefore it brings peiros into those areas. In other words, it irrigates the field so they become fertile. Okay, now we have these two pshatim of shlulis. So Gemara says, the first pshat that says is a collecting area. So certainly, kol shekein amatamayim. Certainly, if there's water in a channel, so that would certainly be also included to separate for peya. One said the second pshat, Rabbi Yomar Yochel said it has to have water inside of it. That might not be considered a separate entity to make these two fields into two separate entities for peya, because the hanu, and we turn to some chalaf omid beis, ba'agne the ara mikru. These are called agonos. As Rashi says, we have from the Parashas Mishpatim, it says they brought certain blood in agonos, in basins, in bowls. And this ditch over here that collects the water is considered like part of the land, and it doesn't separate the two fields into two separate entities. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Hamadlich b'sok shalo. Now, here we're talking about a person lights the fire in his own area, like we had in the first Mishnah. So, Ad kama tabor hadleika, how far do we say that the fire has to go and pass in order for it to no longer be considered your responsibility? It's considered an onus. So we have many opinions. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, he says, Rono so kilu hu bi emtza beis kor. If you lit this fire in the center of a beis kor, so the diameter of a circle drawn around it would be a beis kor. So how much is that? So the Mepharshim bring down, this is an area that is 274 amos by 274 amos. So you would be in the middle of this. You make this into a square. The diagonal would be 274 amos, and you draw a circle around it, or you make a square around it, and that area is a base core. If you're plop in the middle, so in any direction that you go, you'd have at least a distance of half of the 274 amos, 137 amos. So then in this situation, you would have a chatzi base core, as Rashi says, l'chol ruach, so then you would be potter. In this situation, you have enough of a barrier that you wouldn't be held chayev. That's the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. Rashi adds, in Dibra Masuk the Emes of base core, he says, in Yeshul chatzi base core, l'chol ruach potter, that which you have, the 137 amos, the half of the base core in every direction, that's only talking about ubekolachas shedilga. It's talking about that you have the upright flame, and you distance yourself, this chatzi base core, according to Elazar ben Azariah, for the outside chance that a wind would come along and blow it sideways. So that's the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. You need to have that. Or if it's kofefes, as Rashi points out, avol nechpefes, so boeres, volechas kol shah, if you lo'ad me'amil, as we said, chayev. So this is talking about only with the fire of kolachas. It's going straight up, and you have to distance yourself, according to Elazar ben Azariah, the base core, just in the outside chance that a horizontal wind blows it. Okay. Now, that's the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah. Then we have Rabbi Eliezer, who we quoted on the Omer Aleph, and he says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Sheishas Rayamos, Kederach Shusarab. Oh, he says, you're going to be potter if you have 16 amos between where the fire is and where the next door neighbor's property starts, and in this situation, that is considered an adequate barrier. And therefore, if it goes across this barrier, that situation is an onus, and you would be potter. Oh, then we have the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chamishim Amma. He says, flat 50 Amma. You need to have 50 Amma distance from where you're lighting the fire and where your friend's field starts. If you don't have that 50 Amma there, so then it's considered that you're responsible. If it's 50 Amma some more, so then it's considered an onus and you would be potter. And finally, we have the last opinion, which is how the halacha goes, like Rabbi Shimon Omer. The pasuk says, Shalem Yishalem Hamavir Es HaBe'era. He could have just said, Shalem Yishalem Hamavir. So the extra words, HaBe'era, comes to teach us, according to Rabbi Shimon, Hakol Lefi Hadleika. What does this mean? So we have an initial pshat that Rashi gives us, and then we'll have the pshat in the Gemara. So Rashi says, right now, Kosoka Daitach Hochi Kama, that right now we're suggesting that Rabbi Shimon says, Hakol Yishalem Kol Kama Shehidlik Ben Rochob Ben Korob. On the surface, it looks like Rabbi Shimon is saying right now, we'll see, it's not the pshat, Rabbi Shimon is saying that you pay Hakol Lefi Hadleika. Whatever it causes damage, whether it's distant or close, you're obligated. You caused the fire. Therefore, you're obligated no matter what. There is no such thing as onus over here. That's the initial understanding. Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara will change this around. Gemara starts off and says, according to this, the less lay the Rabbi Shimon, shiur b'dleika. According to this, there's no shear of an acceptable distance between your fire and your neighbor's field. You're always chayev. Rabbi Shimon seems to say, hakol lefi adleika, you're chayev no matter what. But that doesn't seem to be true, because we have a Mishnah in Bava Basra where Rabbi Shimon says that there is a shear. Lo yamod adam, it says, Tanur b'socha bayis. The Mishnah tells us that if a person lives in a two-story building, so he can't go and place his oven inside the house unless elim ken yesh lo al gabo, unless he has a high enough ceiling, gova arba amos, for the top of the oven, it will be at least 4 amos to the person upstairs, so you won't go burn down their upstairs apartment. You won't get set their ceiling on fire. So the only way the Tanakhama says that you can put in an oven over there is if you have at least 4 amos between the top of the oven and the ceiling, and vice versa. Hoi mamido balia, if the guy in the upstairs wants to make an oven upstairs, so he has to make sure that the ceiling is thick enough. Achie tachtov maziva shlosha tvachim. The thickness of the ceiling has to be at least 3 tvachim, so therefore it won't set fire to the apartment below it. Now this is dealing over here with a tanur. A tanur is a larger oven, and it is containing more heat, as opposed to ubekira. Kira is a smaller form of an oven, so then you only need a tefach. You only need the ceiling to be thick of 1 tefach, and the heat won't go through and burn the lower apartment. Bottom line is, however, even if you kept these distances, according to the Tanakhama, vim hizik, if despite your maintaining the 4 amah distance from the lower apartment to the upper apartment, and in the upper apartment, if it was a tanner, they had to have at least a ceiling thickness of 3 tefach, and it was a kira, only a thickness of 1 tefach, and you did that, nevertheless, the Tanakhama says, Mashali Mashi Hizik, you're still responsible for the damage. Okay, that's a Tanakama. But along comes Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Nemru Shirun Halalu. These Shirim were set up, the four Amos from the bottom to the top, and the top ceiling, he puts the oven in the top three Tvachim, if he puts a Kira in the top one Tefach, that was said, Lo Nemru Shirun Halalu, Eloshim Hizik Potubi L'Shalim. Rabbi Shimon says, if you in fact follow the rules, then you're going to be Potu L'Shalim. So how can you tell me over here, this Mishnah Bava Basra, the Rabbi Shimon says that there are shiurim that will protect you from liability, whereas in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon seems to say that there are no shiurim. You're liable no matter what. No matter how much you distance the fire from your friend's field, you're still going to be liable. Seems to be a stira in Rabbi Shimon. So the more answers, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabua. No. When Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, Hakol Lufi Hadleika, what he meant was Hakol Lufi Gova Hadleika. It all depends upon the height. As Rashi says, Kisho Eish Givoa Ugdola Kofetzis L'Mirachok. If you're dealing with a huge flame, so then the distance is going to be longer that you have to separate it. The wall's going to have to be higher. And if you're dealing with a small flame, so then the wall can be lower, and the distance between your fire and the next field can be a shorter distance. That's what Rabbi Shimon meant when he says, Hakol Biadleika. He says, it all depends on the fire that you're dealing with. And if you have the appropriate barrier between your flame, whether it's large or small, but you have the appropriate barrier for a small flame or the appropriate barrier for a large flame, so then you'll be potter. Otherwise, you're going to be chayiv. How do we paskin? Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yosef said the name Rav Yehuda, said the name Rav Shmuel. Halachik Rabbi Shimon. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And indeed, v'chein or Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said also in the name of Shmuel, Halachik Rabbi Shimon. That we paskin, in fact, like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, next Mishnah. Now here, we're going to be talking about where a person sets a fire in his yard. Again, if you set the fire in your neighbor's yard, you're going to be chayiv pretty much no matter what. We'll see slight differences between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. But here we're talking about, you set a fire in your yard again, like we had in the other two Mishnahs today. Hamadlik is a Godish, and the fire went and burned down a pile of grain, a Godish, in your neighbor's yard. And now we have the additional thing. We had this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda previously about Tomun Be'esh. This person has in his yard a haystack or a pile of grain, and inside of it, and he has inside of it utensils. He has flammable utensils inside of it, vidalku. And when your fire burnt apart this godish, this pile of grain, it also burnt the flammable utensils inside it. So do you pay for those flammable utensils or not? So you the Omer, yes, Mishalim Mashi Besocho. We had darshan this out yesterday. Rabbi Yehuda Paskins that the word hakoma is coming to teach us that even the things that are standing inside of it are going to be liable. The Chachamim hadash in a different way. So in any event, Rav Yehuda Omer Mishalim Ma Shebesocho, you have to pay for the entire Godish, including whatever was hidden inside of it, any kalim that were inside of it. The Chachamim Omer, no, the way they dash in the pasuk O Hakama O Asadeh, Eino Mishalim Elo Godish Shochitin O Shosorin, that you pay for it. If it was a pile of grain of wheat, so then you pay for it as if the whole thing was wheat. If it was a pile of barley, so then you pay for it as the whole thing was barley. So even though technically there's a little bit less barley or wheat there because of the utensil that's inside, so you pay him for the entire Godish as if it was all barley or all wheat, depending on what it was. Now, the Mishnah tells us another case. Hoyo gidi kofuslo. If there was a little baby goat that was attached and tied to this godish, so it was tied up. The eved somuchlo. And there's an eved kanani that is there. He's not tied up. So even though the eved kanani did not leave, and you obviously therefore killed him with your fire, the nisraf imo, the eved, the gidi that was kofus, and the godish are all burned, they're all destroyed. So in this situation, you're going to be chayiv. We don't say, as Rashi points out, kom le mi de rabba mine in this situation, because if you would intentionally kill this eved, so then we would apply the principle of kom le mi de rabba mine, you'd be chayiv misa, and therefore you would be potter from paying the financial damages that occurred simultaneously. But here, you didn't try to kill this eved, he's untied, he could have walked away. If you see a fire, you run. So therefore, the principle over here of a capital crime doesn't apply, and therefore there's a regular straightforward case of your fire caused damage to this gedi who was tied up and couldn't escape, and to the godish, which is of course an inanimate object and can't move, and therefore the baal fire, the owner of the fire, is going to be chayiv to pay for the gedi and for the godish. If it was, however, eved kofuslo, in fact, the eved was tied up up there and could not get away. And then ugdi somuchlo, some suggest that the gdi somuchlo was just for parallelism. We just had the first case, the gdi was tied up and the eved was near there. So in the parallelism, now we're talking about the eved tied up and the gdi is somuchlo. Others say that even if the gdi was tied up, you're going to be potter in this situation because we're going to have komle midi rabba minei. In any event, in this situation where the eved was tied up and you set the fire, and the nisraf imo, and the gdi, the godish, and the eved are all burnt, so then potter, this person could be potter, as Rashi points out, this is a classical case of a komle midi rabba minei, and Rashi adds what we learned previously, afilu lo hisrubo, shenu nerak, you're about to light this fire there, and witnesses warn you, whoa, if you light the fire, you're going to kill this guy. He says, I'm doing it anyway. So then he'd be chayiv misas beistin. So in this situation, there would be a chayiv of misa. But where there is no warning, there is no hasra, so there's not chayiv misas beistin. Nevertheless, since there's a potential for misas beistin, so therefore, in this situation, it's still kom lemid the rabbi minei, and you would be potter from the financial liability because it could be potentially a capital punishment. Now, the Reish of the Mishnah said that the Chachamim don't hold from Tomim Be'esh. Rabbi Yehuda holds from Tomim Be'esh that you're chayiv. However, Umodim Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda, in some situations, the Chachamim Umodim that there is this din of Tomim Be'esh, even according to their opinion, that normally doesn't have Tomim Be'esh to be chayiv. There are cases where Tomim Be'esh would be chayiv. And the Mishnah says, B'madlikas Abira, if somebody were to set a fire to Abira, Abira is basically a house, a tower. And therefore, if you set fire to a place where people normally have utensils, the Chacham say, you normally don't put utensils inside a haystack, inside a pile of grain. But in a tower, yeah, that's your garage. That's where you store all your wooden implements. So in that situation, the Chacham HaModi Rabbi Yehuda, that you're liable not only for the house, for the tower, for the migdal, but you mishalim kol mashe b'socha. You also have to pay for all the utensils inside of it because you came derech b'nei odom, lo niach b'bata, because that's what people do with houses. That's what people do with these towers, these garages. They store their equipment there, and therefore you're chayiv for the equipment, even the Chacham HaModi to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're chayiv in that situation for tomun be'esh. Okay. Amar Rav Kana tells us the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, machlokes b'madlich b'sok shalo. This is only if you light in your own house, in your own yard, and the fire traverses into your neighbor's property. And causes damage in your fellow's property. All the Mishnayos from today dealt with that. The fire was started in your property, and it traveled into your neighbor's property. Because only in that situation, the Rav Yehuda mechayev aniske tomim beish. The Rav Yehuda says that you're chayev for things that are hidden inside the haystack, inside the pile of grain, and the rabbanan apatre. However, everybody agrees, avo b'madlik b'sok shel chaveiro. If you light your friend's haystack directly, you go and light a fire on his property, and it burns up his grain, his pile of grain, so then even the chachamim, divrei hakol, mishalim kol ma'ashe b'socho. Then the chachamim amode to Rav Yehuda. That's what we had said, similar to the tower. You're lighting directly in his property. So therefore, the Chacham HaModed in that situation, that you're chayiv for anything that is tomun, because you're lighting in his property. He's allowed to go put stuff in his property. We'll see, there's still maybe a little bit of a machlokus later in the Shia between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Exactly what does everything mean? Does it really mean everything or not? Okay, now, Amalei Rava says to Rav Kahana, who said that this machlokus is only between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, is when you started the fire in your own field and it then traveled into the friend's field and caused damage to the property. That's where we have the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. And Rav says, if this is really so, you're telling me that if you lit the fire in your friend's field, that even the Chachamim would say that the moda that you'd be chayiv for the kelim, that a tomun. So then Rav says, why do we give us another case over here about the migdal? Amalei Rav said to Rav Kahana, if you're right, ihachi, so then adatani seva modim Chachamim le Rav Yehuda b'madlik sabira. Instead of introducing a new factor, this bira, this house, so shemeshalim kol ma'ashe b'socha, that you pay for everything that's inside of it, so then sheking there be'odim l'odim b'madlik, because people normally leave stuff over there. So instead of bringing us this new case, you could have, within the same scenario of the fire being lit in your friend's house, the following, litlo v'nisne b'dida. The Medrash Amar Murmin, when do we say that the Chacham Rav Yehuda had the machlokes? The Rav Yehuda says the Tomim Be'esh Chayiv, and the Chacham say Tomim Be'esh Potur. That's when the Madlik B'Sok Shalom. That's when you lit the fire in your own yard and it traveled. Och v'och b'Sok Shel Chaver. That's what had the machlokes. But it could have then said Abu Madlik B'Sok Shel Chaver. But if you lit the fire in your fellow friend's property, you lit his haystack up, you burnt his pile of grain. Even the Chacham Amoda, Mishalim Kol Ma'ashoya B'Socho. So why did you have to give me the case of the Bira, of the tower? You could have given us, Rava says, if Rav Kahana is right, you could have given us just straightforward all in one case without introducing the Bira. So therefore, Ella Amar Rava, in fact, B'Tarati Pliga, there's a double machlokus over here, and that's the proper way to understand our Mishnah. There's two machlokas in over here. Pligay, the number one review, then the Chum argue b'madlik b'sol shalav v'ochav yochav b'sol shalaveiro. They're arguing exactly like Rav Kana has said, that if the fire was started in the person's property and then it traveled to his fellow's property, so that's where Rabbi Yehuda says Yichay for Tomu Be'esh. The Chacham say Yipotah for Tomu Be'esh. The Yehuda Mechayev for Tomu Be'esh. The Rabbanim Sabri Lo Mechayev, because in that situation you didn't know that it was over there. And based upon the Pesukim Or Kama Or Sadeh, the Chacham say Yipotah. That's Machlokas number one. But there's also another Machlokas. Upligi Nami B'Madlik B'Shol Chaveiro. The Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda also argue even when you lit the fire in your neighbor's yard and it burned it directly, because Rav Yehuda Savar Mishalim Kol Ma'aseh B'Socho. Rav Yehuda says you pay for everything inside over there, including Mafilu Arniki, even things that are normally not hidden there. Rashi explains this Arniki, people don't put their wallet inside a haystack. No, they'll put the kalim for the farm inside the haystack. They'll go put things that they need immediately, but they don't put their wallet over there. Nevertheless, Rav Yehuda says Yechayev. Rabban and Sabri, no. Things that are normally put over there, Kalim Shadakun, Lahakman, Begadish, things that are normally put in the Gadish. For example, what's put in the Gadish? Kigon Moridim, Uklei Bakar. Rashi tells us at the bottom of the Rashis, Morigin means Kroshim Nukuvim. These are boards or beams that have holes in them. Ubehen, you say those, and they have pegs in them. Vidoshin, Behem, Esatua, and they use this to go and thresh the produce. So therefore, these types of kalim or clay bakar, or various yolks of the bakar to hold the animal team together, so therefore, these are normally stored inside a pile of grain or inside a haystack. Who the mishalim? There, the chacham say that you would pay. However, kalim she'ain't dakim lahakmi begodesh, such as an arniki, things that are not normally put there, even when you light the fire in your neighbor's yard, the chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda and say, lo mishalim. So there's a double machlokas over here according to Rabbah. Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa. A madlik es ha-godish, if somebody goes and lights up his neighbor's godish, and there are utensils inside there, and they also burnt up. So Rav Yehuda Omer Mishalim Kol Ma Shoyi B'Socho. Rav Yehuda says you pay for everything over there, like we just said. And Chacham Omerim Enu Mishalim El Godish Shel Chitin or Godish Shel Sorin. The Chacham say Enu Mishalim, you only pay for the Godish Shel Chitin. If it was a pile of chitin, you pay for the wheat, as it was an entire pile of wheat, not for the utensils inside of it, or Godish Shel Sorin, and not for the utensils inside of it, it was a pile of sorin. But we do make you pay as if the utensils that were inside of it were actually grain, either the barley or the wheat, and you have to pay for it. Now, we turn to Samach Beis Omer Aleph. This seems to go against what we just said, so we qualify it. When do we say that the Eves Machlok is between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda b'madlik b'sol shalo? This is only when you light it, the fire, in your own yard. That's when you have the Machlok is tomu be'esh. Rabbi Yehuda says you pay for the things inside of it, and the Chacham say you don't. However, avu b'madlik b'sol shel chaveiro, but if you're lighting it in your friend's yard, so then divrei kol, some are goris this, some are not goris this. Basically, it means mishalim kol mashoya b'socho. Now, the kol mashoya b'socho is a problem because that seems to go against what we just said. So some delete the word kol mashoya b'socho, or they delete the word divrei kol. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you pay for everything, including the arniki. And according to the Chachamim, you pay for utensils that are normally placed there, dover shiroi, that you would hide in a haystack, like the utensils that we said, such as the morigin and the clay bakar, but you wouldn't pay for an arniki. Now, the Gemara continues, Umodah Rav Yehuda L'Chachamim. The Braisa tells us that Rav Yehuda now is going to be modah to the Chachamim. Until now, we had the Chachamim be modah to Rav Yehuda. But Rav Yehuda is modah to the Chachamim. In a situation, B'mashu Mokum L'Chaveru L'Hadgish Godish, where you allow your fellow to go and put his pile of grain in your yard, V'Higdish V'Hitmin, and the fellow put grain there, but he also hid something inside of it. Now, you didn't give him permission to hide something inside of it. You said, you can put your wheat pile over here. You can put your barley pile over here. I didn't give you permission to put your utensils inside of it. So in this situation, Rav Yehuda is motivated to the Chachamim, Shein Mishalim Elo Demei Gosh Vavad, that you don't have to pay for the hidden utensils because you didn't get permission to put those utensils there. But you have to pay for it as if the whole thing was wheat, the whole thing was barley. Furthermore, Lahagdish Chitin, if you gave permission to go pile up wheat over there, but you saw the Higdish Sorin that he put up Sorin over there, or Saorin, you gave him permission to put up Sorin, the Higdish Chitin, and he put instead up Chitin, or Chitin, the Chibam Sorin, or he put up wheat over there, and he then covered it up with Sorin. Or you gave him permission for Sorin, the Chibam Chitin, and he covered it up with Chitin. In all of these situations, he didn't have permission to do what he did. And therefore, in all of these situations, Shem Shalom Elo Demei Sorim Bavad, you just have to pay him for Sorim. Let's go through the four cases and explain why. So you gave permission to put wheat there, but then you saw that it did Sorim. So Sorim are much less expensive than wheat. So you say, it's only Sorim. I'm not going to hire somebody to watch it. I'll take my chances. Now, if you'd known that it was wheat, then you would have watched it a lot better. So in this situation, you gave him permission to put in wheat, but it was only barley. So therefore, you only have to pay for barley. That was obvious, and that really sets up the others. Because even though you gave him to put in barley, and then he put in wheat, all you thought that there was barley. So therefore, you didn't watch it like you would have watched wheat, and therefore, you only have to pay for barley. And the next case, that it was wheat, but it was covered with sorin. So you thought it was just sorin. You didn't know there was wheat under there. So therefore, you didn't watch it so carefully, because you say, big deal, it's only sorin. So therefore, you only have to pay him for sorin. And the last case was, you gave permission to sorin. But then the guy put sorin over there, but then he covered it up with chitin. So therefore, you didn't know that the chitin were there. And you need to protect the chit. And you say, it's only barley. In all of these situations, you only have, even Rav Yehuda would say that you only have to pay for the sorim, which is what you gave permission for, and for nothing else, which you didn't give permission for, and you weren't accepting upon yourself additional responsibility to watch a more expensive item. You just accepted upon yourself the responsibility to watch the less expensive sorim. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.